This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez. Thank you for joining us on Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is a ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Today we are going to begin a brand new study entitled An Introduction to the Essential Doctrines of Christianity. The idea is to equip the current and next generation of Christians with the fundamentals of the faith. Before we get into the actual topics or the doctrines that we will cover in this series, I want to start the series with an introduction or a preface. I want to ask three questions that this introduction seeks to answer. One is, why this study? Second, why this subject? And third, isn't there enough stuff out there already that has been written and or produced along these lines? Well, the answer to the last question is both yes and no. Many scholars have made great contributions to Christianity by publishing books and other resources on Bible doctrine and theology that have aided millions of Bible students, including myself, around the world in understanding their faith. So in this introduction, I would like to answer more completely those three questions. Over the last 3 decades, I've had the privilege of preaching and teaching the Word of God. One thing that many to whom I have taught the Word, particularly in recent years, have brought to my attention is that although they are able to find books on Bible doctrine and theology, and I'm talking about books here simply as one of the mediums by which we get instructed, in most cases these books are not written to be understood by the average Christian. They're desperate. Those to whom I have been teaching the Word tell me that they are desperate for a resource that will help them understand the cardinal teachings of the faith and help them become better communicators of that truth. I can testify to the truthfulness of their statements. I'm an avid reader, and I have to agree that concise, straightforward, easy to understand, non-technical books and or other resources, particularly on the essential orthodox doctrines of Christianity, are difficult to find. So my prayer is that this series will help meet that need. Answering the why to this subject is a little simpler. The crisis of apologetic, biblical, doctrinal, and theological illiteracy in the church has reached absolutely epidemic proportions. Christians are having a difficult time articulating what they believe and why they believe it. They're hard-pressed to explain, much less defend, even one of the fundamental doctrines of Christianity. Why this subject? Because if we don't know what those truths are that we claim to hold as core convictions, and we're unable to communicate and defend those essentials in an adequate and reasonable way, then we're no longer light and salt in this lost and dying world. If the fundamental, essential, cardinal, non-negotiable orthodox doctrines of the faith are not worth knowing, understanding, and defending, then what is? These essential doctrines define Christianity, and those beliefs define who we are as Christians. Why this series? Because there's a desperate need for all of us to be reintroduced to those central teachings and to gain a good understanding of them. We live in a day and age in which many false philosophies about truth have saturated and taken root not only in our society, but even among many within the church. And the common denominator of all those false philosophies is the teaching that there is no such thing as absolute truth, an assertion, by the way, that refutes that very teaching. But if Christians cave to those philosophies and fail to stand for truth, then who will? It is incumbent on us as Christians, as the church, to know truth and to be able to communicate and defend it in a world that is in desperate need of it, perhaps more than anything else. Millions will be saved by the grace of God as they trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. as Christians effectively communicate and defend the truth of the gospel, showing their commitment and faithfulness to the Lord and His commands by being a people of the Word, able to give others the reason for the hope that is within them. This series is not meant to be an exhaustive treatment of the doctrines covered. The idea behind this project is one, to create a concise presentation that will highlight the essence of the essentials in an easy and understandable way. And two, to whet the appetite of those listening by highlighting the importance of Christian doctrine and theology and showing that doctrine and theology are not dry academic subjects to be taken up by a certain demographic within the church. The series will be filled with scripture references that will point Christians to the evidence the Bible provides for those convictions. The idea is to help Christians, to help the church, regain an understanding of the fundamentals of their faith and to equip them for service so that they might become more effective witnesses in their lost and dying world. If we are going to properly represent the King and His kingdom, then we must be a people of the Word, a people equipped with truth and with the ability to effectively communicate and defend that truth. So my prayer for this series, for this study, is first, obviously, to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it will be used by Him to further the cause of the kingdom. For those who want to be able to reach others with the wonderful message of God's Word, this, I think, will be a good resource for you. Okay, let's begin the series. During the introduction, I stated that we live in a day and age in which many false philosophies about truth have saturated society and has infiltrated the church. So I want to start this series by addressing the question, what is truth? And by also making a presentation of a number of those philosophies of truth that I was making reference to. What is truth? This is the question that was asked by a man named Pilate about 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years later, this question is still being asked by many, even by many within the church. Why? Because truth itself has once again come under attack, to the extent that all who have adopted the various false philosophies about truth being propagated in our growing secular and liberal society today now deny the very existence of absolute truth. Not only have they adopted for themselves these philosophies, but they propagate them. And in fact, they've been quite successful in doing so. National polls show that an incredibly large number of freshman college students, Christian students included, when surveyed, state that they do not believe that there is such a thing as absolute truth. Why bother with this discussion? Does it really matter whether there is or isn't such a thing as absolute truth? Of course it does, because truth is foundational for the survival of society itself. If we allow ourselves to be convinced that absolute truth doesn't exist and start living out that belief, we ourselves will be to blame for the collapse of society, and history will once again show the error of our ways. So as we consider the truth about truth, among other things, we will define what truth is, discuss some of the erroneous views of truth that are held and propagated in the world today, and how truth can be known. Let's start by defining truth, and I want to use two Christian authors, use their definitions about truth. Norman Geisler in Unshakable Foundation states, and I quote, "Truth is an expression, symbol, or statement that matches or corresponds to its object or referent, that to which it refers, whether it is an abstract idea or a concrete thing." Close quote. Ronald Nash in Life's Ultimate Question, An Introduction to Philosophy, defines truth this way. He states, and I quote, "Truth is a property of propositions that correspond to the way things are. Truth is objective, that is, is independent of human preference and desire. Our feelings cannot alter or change truth. Close quote. So truth is that which corresponds or relates to reality as it actually is. If a statement anybody makes matches the facts and the evidence, then it equals truth. On the other hand, if a statement anybody makes does not match the facts and evidence, then it equals to that which is false or a lie. If I said that the Carolina Panthers beat the New England Patriots and won the Super Bowl in 2003, that would be a lie. Why? Because the facts and the evidence would disprove my statement. Now, the fact that I wanted them to win and feel they should have won doesn't change the fact that they lost. Instead, if I state that the Carolina Panthers made it to the Super Bowl in 2003 and gave the New England Patriots a run for their money, that would be true. Why? Because the facts and the evidence would demonstrate that. The latter statement corresponds and matches to the way things are. It relates to reality. Let us now explore some of the false philosophies about truth. I will start with agnosticism. Agnosticism claims that neither truth nor God can be known. Now, it doesn't necessarily deny that they exist. It only denies that either can be known. Now, there are several problems with this philosophy about truth. First, it is a self-destructive argument. One who holds to this philosophy fails to realize that he already possesses some knowledge about truth and God, i.e., that God and or truth can't be known. If agnostics are right, they would not be able to make such a statement because it contains knowledge about God. If we cannot know God, then how is it that we know we cannot know God, since knowledge about God is implied in such a statement? Clearly, we would have to know something about God to know that He is unknowable. Here's a second problem. They will say truth cannot be known by man. Well, is that a truth statement? In other words, if I'm an agnostic and I believe I can't know truth, then how do I know that what I am saying and that what I believe, agnosticism, is true? Ironically, agnostics claim truth cannot be known by using truth statements. A third issue, they will say neither truth nor God can be known. That's a negative statement. As Geisler states, remember, every negative statement presupposes positive knowledge. That was a quote, by the way. By making a negative statement about truth or God, the agnostic presupposes truth about both God and truth. For example, if I tell you that your car is not blue by making a negative statement about the color of the car, it is presupposed that I actually do have a positive knowledge about the actual color of the car. If I didn't, then why would I even make the negative statement in the first place? Another philosophy of truth is called scientism. Philosopher J.P. Moreland, in his book Love God with All Your Mind, writes, and I quote, "Scientism is the view that science is the only paradigm of truth and rationality. If someone does not square with currently well-established scientific beliefs, if it is not within the domain of things appropriate for scientific investigation, or if it is not amenable to scientific methodology, then it is not true or rational. Everything outside of science is a matter of mere belief and subjective opinion, of which rational assessment is impossible. Science, exclusively and ideally, is our model of intellectual excellence." Close quote. So scientism holds that the most authoritative and valuable area in terms of human learning is science. There are also those within scientism who go as far as to say that there is no truth apart from scientific truth. As far as scientism is concerned, any other intellectual activities are considered and regarded as inferior to science. Nothing should be regarded as true. In fact, it should be regarded as irrational if science cannot verify it or at least shed some light on it. Of course, there are a few problems with scientism. First of all, scientism refutes itself. Scientism claims that only scientific propositions are true and rational. The curious thing is that it uses a philosophical argument to make its claims, rather than verified scientific propositions. So nothing is true unless science can verify it, except the philosophical non-scientific statements they make. How ludicrous! So scientism's non-verified and non-verifiable claim is true, but no other such claim is. How can scientism be true when it uses a self-refuting proposition to make its case? A second issue is the fact that scientism, rather than being a friend to science, has become its foe, because in its very task of stating and defending the propositions for science, as stated previously, they use philosophical ones. In other words, as Moreland says, neither the propositions themselves nor their defense are a scientific matter. Scientism states that only its claims are true and rational. Well, that's a philosophical proposition. Yet such claims are not proven scientifically. The whole argument rests on philosophical propositions rather than on scientific proof. Therefore, science itself is undermined by the very arguments of scientism. And a third problem is this. If there is no truth outside of scientific truth, how then do we reconcile the fact that there is the existence of true and rationally justified beliefs outside of science? For example, beating a senior citizen is wrong. A third philosophy of truth is skepticism. Now, skeptics, unlike agnostics, don't say that truth or God cannot be known. What they do say is that we should doubt or question everything. Skepticism is nothing more than the philosophy of uncertainty. As a skeptic, I would say, truth and or God do exist, truth and or God can be known, but I doubt, I question, and I'm indecisive about both. Skepticism, by implication, teaches people to procrastinate in making any decisions and to set aside those things that need to be decided on. Obviously, there are several problems with this philosophy as well. First of all, skepticism refutes itself as well. Is it possible to be truly skeptical about everything? If skepticism is true, then I should, by definition, doubt, I should question, I should be indecisive about skepticism as well, shouldn't I? How is it that I should be skeptic or of everything but skepticism itself? I wouldn't be a very good skeptic, would I? Second problem, to procrastinate in making a decision about anything at all is actually to make a decision about it. If you're a skeptic and decide not to make a decision about God, you've just made a decision about God. The decision was not to make a decision. That is a decision, isn't it? A third problem is that skepticism prevents people from being proactive and assertive in doing what they know needs to be done. It causes us to suppress the truth by making us question it. I'm talking about the things all humans inherently know to be true in their very soul. Skepticism paralyzes us from moving either left or right because we just don't know. Okay, well, we have reached the end of this particular podcast. Next, during our next session, we will continue exploring a number of the philosophies of truth that are propagated and that are saturating our culture and even many within the church. And after that, we will go into a second topic. We won't actually start covering the essential doctrines of the Christian faith until we've covered three preliminary or three introductory subjects. I am Dr. Miguel Gonzalez, and on behalf of Truth to Live By, the Media Ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, I want to thank you for joining us for this podcast. May God richly bless you.